I do want to thank several sponsors now. As I mentioned early, Grants Auction and Realty is our Facebook sponsor today. And then the Refuge Church, it's a non-denominational church, 18410 Highway 152 at Sayre. That is 3 miles west of the traffic light in downtown Sayre. And they're inside a little barn out there. They have a beautiful little worship center that looks like a barn on the outside, but they've got the beautiful worship center on the inside. Sunday school is at 10, Sunday worship 10:45, Sunday evening Bible studies at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, and Wednesday youth at 7. If you need more information, you can call Tammy, Pastor Tammy, 580-729-0956. And then Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue is one of our sponsors. They have Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, and then 6 o'clock again on Sunday evening. And then they have a prayer meeting on Tuesday night, and they have Bible study on Thursday night. Now, I want to mention something that's going to be going on over at Raiden First Baptist Church in a couple of weeks. They're having a Saturday night live gospel jamboree, and this is a fundraiser. They're inviting all the churches and the communities around there to participate. They say, bring your musical talents and use them for the good of a cause. And the cause is to help some of the kids get to go to Falls Creek. So if you are interested in that, in being one of the people that participates as a singer, you can call Tanya Thompson at 580-497-6979. This is just donation, so anything that comes in will be given for these kids to be able to go to Falls Creek. So mark your calendars for that. It's going to be on Saturday evening, May 14th, from 5 to 7, or until the music stops, they say. So it might go on, might go on longer. Whatever. Who knows? And now let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
At Bordice and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. And we're giving thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Bordice difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service. Only at BarbaraDysonFord.net.
We are back. This is the Hour of Power. Our guest today, Jace Morrow, a youth pastor at Cheyenne First Baptist Church. And what a blessing you've been there to all of us. Your family is such a sweet family, and you've done such great things with the kids.
Well, we appreciate that. All glory to God.
And amen. Yeah. We're ready for you just to dig back in.
Okay. So just thinking about this, you know, it's talking about, you know, persecution. Thinking about worship from persecution, that it should still be a time of worship and celebrate, that we can rejoice in that, of knowing, like I said, it was, you know, the silversmith at sticking the silver in the fire to bring out all the impurities and the gunk that is within it still. So at the end of it, they can pull it out and know that this has been done, this has been purified, when the silversmith can see the reflection in it. The same thing, that God can use trials and difficulty to stick us in trials, and so that we can learn and still bring out all the gunk that could still remain in us, so God can use those situations to sanctify us, to make us more like Christ. And so when he pull us out of those trials and see that our trust has grown in him, seeing our faithfulness has grown in him, he can look and say, you are now starting to look more and more like my son Jesus. And so just continuing out of 1 Peter, and then they're just different verses that just help me think of different things. But he says this in verse 7, so that tested of genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so just coming back full circle, I'm thinking about this. I said at the beginning, you know, of our worship, you know, when we come into a space and place ready to worship, it's not about what you have. It's not about all the things that you can add to the worship that, I mean, these are the people that, I mean, being persecuted and going through some different things. And yet he's saying, man, continue on going, because the thing that we are worshiping, the thing that is the most center of everything that we have, is our living hope that is in Jesus. Like, you can strip everything else away, but the thing that is, you can't extinguish it. It's as Scripture said, it's imperishable, undefiling, unfading. It is our salvation and the hope that we have in our resurrected King. And that it's not about the other things that you can add to make it more enjoyable or anything like this. We can have joy even through persecution, even in hardship and difficulty in life, because we know we're in good company, that Jesus himself was in that. Man, that takes me to Philippians chapter 4, Philippians 4:13, you know, and even the verses before that. You know, we know Paul is writing this, and this is one of the most popular verses that is quoted, but it is also the most misquoted Bible verse, I think, of all of Scripture, was Philippians 4:13. We quote Philippians 4:13 a lot. We get it tattooed on us a whole lot. We put it and we buy it from Hobby Lobby and put it on our rooms. You know, we do a lot of different things. In youth ministry, I see a lot of teenagers use it as like a mantra, as a saying, hey, before they go into a really important game. And we use this verse to help bring about good things in our life, I think. Like, look, I am just as guilty about this, man. When we were going into the baseball, going into state tournament, you know, we would write it on our wrists. We would write it inside our gloves. We would write it on the bill of our caps right here, Philippians 4:13, because we know this, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who give me strength. Mm-hmm. We really use that verse in hopes of the outcome will be really good for us. We would quote that in hopes of, hey, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So that means we're going to go out and we're going to win this ball game for us, so we can get the rings, so we can do this and that, right? Bring glory more so for ourselves and do that. Because what happens whenever we wrote Philippians 4:13 and the outcome didn't come out the way that we wanted it? We're like, man, I had a youth kid do that one time, Philippians 4:13, and then he struck out continuously. and then he went on to choose, well, God must not be real because I couldn't hit the ball. I was like, no, you just don't have that much talent.
Sorry,
like,
bro.
Yeah, like it just kind of boiled down to that. And so we use Philippians 4:13 as this mantra of like, hey, all things will be good for me and everything like that. And that is exactly the opposite of what Paul was doing when he was writing this. Paul wasn't writing this because he was high in life, that he was great, and he was living fancy. He was writing this with his feet up on a footstool, getting grapes fed to him. No, he was writing this in prison. Mm-hmm. And this is what he said. And even the verses, like jumping back to verse 10 when he was writing that, I rejoice. Oh, there's a word that sounds familiar that we read in 1 Peter as well. Finding being rejoiced in the joy of, you know, of all the difficulty and the persecution. Verse 10 in Philippians 4 said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you have no opportunity. Now, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so Peter is saying this to the church of Philippi that have sent in all this stuff to him, that have been supporting him through all this stuff. And he says, man, I'm thankful for your financial support, your support of me. But don't think of it as that. I am speaking now of being in need, because I have learned in whatever circumstance, in every situation, right? He said the total polar opposites of everything, right? He said, I've learned in whatever situation to be content.
not to, whether that was in need or to be brought low or to have much, that in every circumstances, the secret of facing when I had plenty or when I was in hunger, when I was in abundance or in need, that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That he learned that it wasn't about what you add to life. It wasn't about what you have in this world that may bring you happiness. It wasn't about what you didn't have in life that could bring you happiness. Because content was found in Jesus. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that you could add to my faith to make this better. He learned that even in persecution, that even in the hardest times of life, even in the greatest times of life, that, hey, this is all great and fine and dandy, but, man, this fails in comparison to the joy that I have that is my salvation, that is the living hope of my faith, that is in the resurrected Jesus Christ. Man, like, he was content in that. And, man, when you come into this world, when you come into that persecution, and that is your outlook, like, that really angers the enemy. That really angers the people that may be persecuting you because they're trying to bring you down. They're trying to beat you up. They're trying to bring you lowly. And yet you're saying, man, I am so thankful for this. Man, I am in good company because my Lord and Savior was in the same boat. And that is our worship through that. Like, even in trials and variations of different things, like, God is using this. He's going to refine me through this. And I'm going to come out even through this closer to my God. And it makes me think of another one that just jumps out at me was in Hebrews 12, you know, verses 1 and 2 of running the race, that Paul is also writing this in 12, 1 and 2, where he says this: therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, right? I mean, think about that as an endurance runner, right? In our faith of even in different things and situations, let us run with endurance, right? If you are getting ready to run a race, you're not going to go pick up 20-pound dumbbells and then get ready to run your race, right? I mean, our sinfulness, you know, it weighs on us. It weighs us down, but we lay it to the side so that we can run the race and run it well for King Jesus. And we keep our eyes not on ourselves. We're not focused on our own strength and ability to endure or to get through, but we keep our eyes focused on the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, who gladly, joyfully accepted the cross because he knew what was going to come of that, right? And so he ran the race well. He was the founder of our faith, but he's also the perfecter of our faith, meaning that he perfected it, meaning this, that when he said it is finished, it is finished. Like, he is the perfecter of our faith. And so we keep our eyes on that. Even in trials and difficulty, even through persecution, even through difficulty, our worship is set on the one that's worthy of our worship, the one that we're running for, the one that we're going to, the one that we learn how to be content in, even in the worst circumstances, not just in the good times. So we don't focus on the conveniences of our life or the conveniences of the worship that is in the environment, but rather we should single-mindedly focus on the one who's worthy of our worship, the one that was the author and perfecter of our faith. I'll wrap up with this, I promise. But in Acts chapter 5, when we were at this men conference, Shane Pruitt, you know, he put he read these couple of verses. It's actually quite a big chunk of it, so I won't read it all. But in Acts chapter 5, 27 through 42 is when Peter and John, you know, they are preaching the gospel. They are sharing Jesus all over the place. And they end up getting arrested. And they're brought before the high priest. They're brought before the Sanhedrin. They're brought before the Pharisees. And basically they're told to shut up. Like not for real, like no filter. They were told to be quiet, to quit doing this, right? Verse 27, it says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter the apostle answered, we must obey God rather than men. So that was their response to the persecution. They said, hey, that's great. I know you're bringing us all this, but we're going to worship God over what you say. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. That is the cross. and the forgiveness of sins, and we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to the men outside for a little while. And he said to the men of Israel, take care of what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all those followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean, not Judas Iscariot, but someone a different Judas, rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So, in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this was plan of this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that of Christ is Jesus. Well, I love that. Uh-huh. Like, even in persecution, they were like rejoicing, and they were like, you're going to shut up. You're going to quit teaching Jesus. And Shane pointed out, he said, like, they did that. You're like, you're going to shut up and you're going to quit preaching Jesus. Okay. I mean, but we're going to honor God and listen to God over you. So in that, hey, can I tell you the gospel real quick? And so they laid out what Jesus did, that he died on the cross for them. Like, even in the persecution, even in the trials, they continued to rejoice that they were considered worthy enough to be in the company of Jesus and experience the same thing. And like, I think if that is your focus, when you come into worship, it's not the conveniences. It's even sometimes through the persecution that, man, when you're being persecuted, man, that is worth celebrating and going like, man, God is really doing something through this. Like, mm-hmm. this is a brilliant thing. And Shane, he also said this one liner that I thought was really powerful and that spoke to me was this, like, even when you go through difficulty in this life as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, even if you're enduring the worst hell, the worst persecution, it is the closest to hell you'll ever experience. Uh-huh. Like, it is the closest to hell you will ever experience, because our destination is eternity in heaven with our Lord. And so, I mean, it's because of the living hope that we have in Jesus. So even if you're experiencing persecution, even if you're experiencing this stuff, our focus should be, you strip away all that stuff, you strip away the conveniences that is our worship, and we come into the a sanctuary of worship, or wherever we're at when we gather. It's not about all the fancy things that we can add to worship. It's not about all those things, that the cool lighting effects, the cool fog machines, the cool things, that one-liners that people can say to get you really emotionally stirred up. Is equally stirred up by the grace and the power that you have experienced of salvation of Jesus as you are as those fancy lights and the fogs and all the other things that you can add to a worship service? You strip those things away, and all you have is just a single guitar or just your voices to worship Jesus. Are you just as stirred up in the spirit as when you have those things? And if you're not, I think you need to reevaluate what you're really worshiping. Mm. Are you worshiping the worship? Are you worshiping the one that's the subject of worship? Because only King Jesus is worthy of our worship and our praise. There's nothing else that you can add to Jesus to experience and make it better. The only thing that you need is King Jesus. Like, take everything else. We don't need it. I mean, the conveniency, when you want lunch, what's convenient? Go down to the quick convenience store, grab something quick or fast food. It's not really the greatest thing, but it's what'll hold you over compared to going to Texas Roadhouse, uh-huh. Right? That requires you to sit down and enjoy it, to order it and all that. So it's not really convenient when you need something fast. We can't make our relationship with God and our worship of God make it convenient. Like, don't make it convenient to where it's just easy, to where it's you can add the lights, the things, and it's just simple. Rather, when we come into worship, like, make it a deep matter. Like, make it a thing where you pause and you sit down and you soak in the moment of worship. You're reading the lyrics, and you're not reading them like they're history books, but you're reading it as an attitude of worship. Like, my heart aligns with what I'm reading on the screen because I've experienced that. Mm-hmm. Like, make that be a real thing where worship is, you are worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, because he's the only one worthy of our worship. Don't let anybody else be the center of it. Don't worship the worship. Don't worship what it is, the emotional high that you might be on.
Keep focused on the one that is worthy of our worship. Keep running the race well, the author and perfecter of our faith. Love Jesus. Like, I don't know where else to end, but I'll pause there.
Great lesson you've brought. Will you pray to end the program?
I will. All right, let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, we are so thankful for you. Lord, I am thankful for the transformation that you've done in my life alone. God, I am still, a sinful man who continuously every day needs to wake up and preach the gospel message to myself so that whenever I go through trials, when I go through difficulty, when I go through hardship, when I go through good things, when I go through the highlights of my life, I remember that my focus should still be on Jesus, that I need you just as much today as I did yesterday. Help me and everybody that's listening to this to keep our focus in our worship of the one who's worthy of our worship. It's so easy to get caught up in everything that's being added to a worship service. It's so easy to just go through the motions because it's convenient. Just being in a sanctuary in the church, singing hymns that we don't really pay attention to, listening to the Christian radio and just singing words that really we don't really resonate with or don't care about, don't think about, because it's convenient to just sing along and not really participate in worship. I pray, God, that when we enter into a space and place of worship, we would think about the deep things of God. We would remember how wretched and how broken we are, but how awesome and perfect is our hope in Jesus, who is a living hope. That is not a possible hope, but is the future certainty of the resurrection that we are promised as well in Christ, that we have eternity, that we will live forever with you, Lord, in heaven. And God, that is worthy of worship. That, God, we would learn to be content even in the good things in life and even in the hardships of life. Because our contentment is not based on the conveniences of life, but our contentment is set on who Jesus is in our heart. May you continue to sit and reign and rule on the thrones of our hearts as the way you do, still reigning and ruling on your throne in heaven. Lord, we pray that salvation would continue to be made known through this world, that God would continue, that people would continue to see their need for Jesus to be made right, to see that they're broken, to make the decisions to put their faith and trust in Jesus and make them the center point and the focal point, the epicenter of their life. So, Lord, we love you, we glorify you, we praise you for who you are and everything you've done for us. We pray and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What a great, great lesson today you've brought us, Jace. I would suggest that if you missed any part of this, go back to the beginning and watch the whole program. If you have a friend that doesn't have Facebook, send them to the website. It'll be posted over there in just a little bit, therockchristianmusic.com, and then click on Hour of Power, and then click on Monday. We love you. From me, Neva, from Monica, from Pastor Jace. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you back in here tomorrow.
Let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.